Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you. Lots to cover today. It's the day after the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception. I didn't get a chance to talk about that. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I experienced at Mass last night. Even though it was the 9th, it wasn't the 8th, I'm so glad that the Church puts into practice this rule that allows us to enter into this important, beautiful feast day. All right, I'll be back in a minute with the program. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in Eastern Washington and Northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord our God, I thank you and I praise you for the gift of the mother of your Son, Jesus. Mother Mary, I thank you that you love us and that you intercede for us as our mother. And I pray that your intercession would allow us to grow in our own spiritual lives in a new way, in a way that we would welcome the word of the Lord into our hearts, that we'd come to realize more fully what it is we pray when we're at Mass, and that we would be true disciples of your Son. Thank you, Mother Mary, for praying for us. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, lots to cover today. Carrie and I went to the Rorate Caeli Mass on Saturday, which was also a first Saturday. So I got to tell you, this Advent just loaded with stuff. We had first Friday, we had first Saturday, we had the Solemnity, and the 8th was on Sunday. And as you know, it got deferred. It got, what's that word, transferred to Monday, so that the Church would have the opportunity, not the obligation, the opportunity. It's a holy day of opportunity, right? My kids aren't buying what I'm selling, but they all went to Mass, as it was only proper and right, on December 9th to honor the great gift of God given to our Blessed Mother and her yes to the Lord. So I want to talk a bit about the theology, the insights that we can learn, just some. We can learn about our life of faith from the Immaculate Conception, from our Blessed Mother. I had some very interesting, I think, things that jumped out at me from the readings, the first reading and the second reading from Genesis and from Ephesians. And I'll talk a bit about that as well. And maybe if I have time also to talk a little bit about the gospel. And again, just cherry picking things that were words that were alive for me. I've heard those readings, you know, how many times, and the gospel, how many times, but isn't the call in our life of faith to gain insight, to see ourselves with new eyes, even though we're seeing the same thing? I'll give you an example that's a bit of an embarrassing example, but welcome to my life. So one of the great gifts of going on the Camino this summer was I lost weight, got in better shape. And when I came back, I have this conviction, no going back, never again will I go back to where I came from, but that whole idea of yo-yo dieting. So it was all about establishing new habits and living those habits out. And to some extent I have, praise be to God for that, but I don't always have a clear enough mirror. My mirror doesn't always show me what's real, because I'm seeing myself through my own eyes. And I got a different look at myself, not by looking at a mirror, but by looking at a video. What video was that, Tom? Well, it's basketball season. And one of the things that I will do is not only watch video of the teams that we're going to play, but watch the the game that we just played. And I'm watching the game we just played, I'm watching our players on the floor, but every now and again, there's a timeout and the girls run to the bench. And who's that fat guy on the bench? Who's that old fat guy that is gathered around the girls and coaching them? Wait a minute, that's me. Ooh, that was really painful. That was a bit of a, like, wait a minute, that's what I look like? That's actually what I look like? And that's not what I see when I look in the mirror. When I look in the mirror, I don't see that. I don't see myself looking like that. I'm not that heavy. I'm not that gray. I'm not that old. But I'm most importantly, I'm not that heavy. Like, look at that stomach. Oh my goodness, that is not what I came back. I didn't come back from the Camino with that. Where did that come from? Where did that get reattached? So it was a bit of a wake up. It was a wake up call to me to say, all right, I need to up my game. Here we are in Advent. And really, Advent is about finding a new way or a fresh way to see into what we think we already know. We think we already know the Word of God, the first reading, the second reading, the gospel. We think we already know our own lives. We look in the mirror of our own lives and we think we know what there is to be seen. Oh yeah, that's how I really am. That's who I really am. That's how I'm really doing. That's what's really happening in my life. That's what's happening in my relationships. That's what's happening in my family. That's what's happening in my spiritual life. And if we look into if we rely on only the mirrors of our own thinking, we're going to do a pretty good job of rationalizing and justifying and excusing areas of our lives where we're falling short, but we're not putting ourselves into a place or a position to see with new eyes, to get a new perspective. And really, it's not just someone else's perspective. It's to see with the eyes of Christ, to see from the perspective of God. Or if that's too divine and too beyond us, how about to see through a Catholic lens, to be able to allow a truly Catholic approach to life and faith in our own lives to shine on us, to put into question how we're living. In order to do what? Why is this such an important thing? Why is this such a big deal? Why am I even bringing this up? This is what Advent is all about. It's about having the courage to take an honest, open look at our lives, to allow the Lord to speak into our lives. Yesterday, the gospel was the Annunciation gospel, right? I know it was the Immaculate Conception, but the Annunciation gospel began with the Archangel Gabriel announcing to the Blessed Mother a way of seeing herself that she didn't have when she looked in the mirror. She looked in the mirror, she saw Mary. She saw herself, Mary. The Archangel Gabriel comes and announces to her, "Hail, Mary." That's not what he said. He didn't say, "Hail, Mary." He said, "Hail," and then he said her name. He said her name. He revealed to her a new insight into her own identity that she didn't have until it was revealed to her. Hail, full of grace, one word in Greek, full of grace. He was naming her. I know if you've listened to Catholic radio, especially apologetics, Scott Hunt, theology, and so many other Catholic theologians and apologists, they bring up that insight that in that gospel, full of grace. It's her name. It's the angel is naming something about her. Now she comes to see something about her own life that she wouldn't have seen had she not been open in prayer to let the Lord send a messenger, send a message, bring light to her that she didn't have on her own. And it was overwhelming to her. And it's just deeply troubled, right? This is what the gospel says. And then the archangel says, don't be afraid, Mary. Like, I know your name. I know what you think about yourself. I know how you see yourself. I know how you name yourself. Ah, but heaven sees more. Heaven sees more. Heaven sees not only and will reveal to you a deeper sense of your own identity. You're full of grace. You're complete. You're perfect in grace. You're without sin. But also, we're going to announce your mission. I'm here to announce your mission, your purpose, the reason why God has you full of grace. You're going to be the mother of the Son of God. You're going to conceive and bear in your womb the Messiah, the Son of God. That's your mission, which again, is beyond her. It's not what she saw about herself. It's not what she knew about herself. How can this be? For I do not know man. And again, if you just stop and say, what's the insight here about her own life? The most natural thing would have been for her, if this was a human, was an announcement about a human conception, she would have said, wow. She wouldn't have said, how can this be? For I do not know man. She would have said, I can't wait to tell Joseph. I'm betrothed. I can't wait to let Joseph know that when we have children, we're going to give birth to the Messiah. That's not what she said. How can this be? Even though she's betrothed, she knows that she has been held in reserve and set apart for the Lord himself, set apart to live as a virgin. And this consecrated life that she was set apart for would preclude the idea that she would ever have a child, even as a married woman, Joseph as her protector. And so this is beyond her to imagine how she can fulfill the call that she's discerned and been living and yet also give birth and be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Son of God. And again, the Archangel Gabriel brings the revelation, brings the announcement, brings the insight that comes from God that she never would have known on her own. The power of the Most High will come upon you. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. And thus you will be, that the child would be born to you will be the Son of God. And she doesn't understand all of it, but she says, let it be done to me. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm open. I'm ready to receive. I'm docile. I'm ready to be moved and led into whatever it is God has for me. This, my brothers and sisters, is Advent. That's the Advent call. Are you willing? Are you ready? Are you able? Are you open to letting the Lord break into your life, break open your own thinking about yourself, and take you beyond, smash the mirror of your own self-justifying, self-excusing, self-rationalizing the life that you're living and saying, this is good enough. I'm better than most. I'm doing great. As I look in the mirror, I'm seeing, well, some things about myself that are true, but there are parts of my life that I don't realize where I'm settling for less, falling short, and my house is not in order. And the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Advent. Advent is about coming too. It's not about us going to Christmas. It's about the Lord coming to us. And we better get our houses in order. We better get our houses in order. And we know about that. We get that when it comes to getting our house in order for a party or for dinner guests or getting the house ready for Christmas because family coming home from school, coming into town, we're decorating and getting things ready. There's all kinds of preparations for the physical house getting in order. But what about the Lord? What about spiritually? What are we doing? Are we really that available? My brothers and sisters, I plead with you. I beg you, please let the Lord. Ask the Lord, ask, seek, and knock. Lord, this Advent, please give me an angel, give me a messenger that can reveal to me a way of seeing into my life that I'm not seeing right now. I'm looking, but I'm not seeing. I'm listening, but I'm not hearing. And I know that I need your grace, Lord. I need your grace to break into my deafness, to give me ears to hear, to cure me of my blindness so that I can see. We all have areas where we need to grow. We all have areas. And when we come back after the break, I'm going to talk about how that struck me at Mass last night. It struck me in a prayer that I pray pretty much daily at Mass, but it struck me in a fresh new way. Same old words struck me in a fresh new way. And when that happens, that's a grace. That's a gift. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I wasn't even asking for it, but it happened. What was I praying? What was this special prayer? What was this like surprising prayer that struck me in a new way? It was the Confiteor. What's the Confiteor? I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned. It was that prayer. And if you were next to me in the pew or across the church and you looked over and I'm praying that prayer, like I didn't fall over or anything, but I did stop. And it was like, are we realizing what we're saying here? All right. I'll talk to you more about this in a minute. I'll be back.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran, and I'm sharing with you some Advent stories, and really, in doing so, hopefully unveiling a bit more of the Advent journey in accord with our Catholic faith, that this is a liturgical season and there's a meaning to it. And that meaning is more than having an Advent wreath and candles. It's more than decorating your home. It's listening to Christmas music on the radio. No, there is a spirituality and a theology that is meant to disrupt and interrupt our lives of faith in meaningful ways in order to give us the grace to access what the Lord intends to do by giving us this season in the church's life. This is the first season. This gets us launched into the liturgical year, right? You know this. And Advent is about coming to, and it's about the Lord coming to us. We think of it so often as us walking to Christmas. No, it's preparing the way for the Lord. It's watching with great expectant faith for the coming of the Lord. And so how is the Lord going to come to us? One of the ways the Lord comes to us is through the things that we already know, we already do, we already see. I talked in the first section about looking in the mirror and not seeing what there was to be seen. And it took a different pathway in, the different pathway in that disrupted what I looked at and saw in the mirror was when I watched a video. And I was like, holy cow, that is not what I see when I look in the mirror. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that grace. It was a humbling disruption. I need more humbling disruptions. Well, the Lord gave me one last night at Mass. And it was the Confiteor. It was the first one. There were several. The first one was the Confiteor, right? I confess to Almighty God. So as I'm doing this, as I'm saying this prayer, I confess to Almighty God. All right, just stop. Pause. Ponder. Do you really believe that? This is me talking to myself, all right? You're hearing what I'm saying to myself. But I want you to hopefully maybe use this as a, again, maybe a different kind of mirror for you to reflect on for yourself. Are you aware? Are you alert to the fact? Are you cognizant of the reality that at Mass, you are in fact confessing, you're accusing yourself out loud to God, who's almighty, who has infinite power. He's infinitely powerful, this God. He's big. He's big. And he's present at Mass. And you've been granted access into the presence of God. And you're there confessing to that God. By the way, this is going to be really relevant when we get to the first reading, which is about Adam and Eve and the serpent and the fall. And I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters. Have we stopped and thought about that? That we're making this acknowledgement. Again, we're accusing ourselves. That's what it is to confess. It's to accuse yourself. It's to acknowledge it. I'm not hiding it. I'm not saying I didn't mean to do it. I'm not saying it was someone else did something worse to me first. I'm not saying, yeah, I did it, but let me give you the reasons why it just washes away any kind of real guilt here. No, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters. That means, you know, in faith, we do share something. We share being part of the family of God. The church is this family of God. And you're my brothers and sisters. That I have greatly sinned. Do you believe that? No, you do not. No, you do not. Now, remember, please don't take offense. I'm looking in the mirror as I say this. Do I really believe that I've greatly sinned? Greatly sinned. Do I think about my sins as great sins, big, grave, serious, like not little things? Really, do I? I really don't. I sin. I don't say that lightly. I don't say that lightly, but the sins that I commit, I'm not robbing banks. I'm not stealing stuff. I'm not looking at bad stuff on the internet. I'm not doing terrible things that when you make your list of terrible things, those are the things that I'm doing. Now that's, however, where are these great things that I've greatly sinned? Do you think you've greatly sinned? Honestly, do you? If you thought you greatly sinned, I would imagine that you'd be going to confession regularly. It's when we have a sense of having sinned greatly, gravely, seriously, like big deal sin, then we're going to take big deal action to deal with big deal sin. Right? If I tweak my shoulder just a little bit, yeah, no big deal. I'll deal with it. It'll get better. I'll just stretch it out. I mentioned that because I tweaked my shoulder, but it's getting worse. And it's getting really worse, like pretty bad. And I finally mentioned it to Carrie. It's been, I don't know, a month and a half, 2 months, I mean, at least a month and a half. And it is really bothering me now. Like now it's intruded into my daily awareness. So I'm like, okay, I better go to a physical therapist tomorrow. Like that bad. Like I don't want to shake anybody's hand. It's my right shoulder. And so I have greatly hurt my shoulder. Yeah, okay, I'm going to deal with it. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I've greatly sinned. Greatly. In my thoughts. Okay, and we can go through all of them, right? In my thoughts, in my words, what I've done and what I've failed to do. Do we think about the sins of our thinking as rising to that level of being a serious sin, a grave sin, as a great sin, right? And I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we do that. And when we go further, what do we say, right? What about these sins? Through my fault, through my most grievous fault. So we're not hiding. We're not blaming somebody else. We're not giving ourselves some excuse. No, there's a, are you beginning to get a sense of how radical this action is? The action of this prayer at the beginning of every Mass? Well, the Masses that use the Confiteor, right? That's a form of the penitential rite. So you will sometimes go to Mass and not say the Confiteor. And but when you do, you're acknowledging that, I mean, as you beat your breast, right, with your fist, as a sign of penitence and acknowledgement and penance, it's my fault. It is my fault that my evil thoughts that are great sins are part of my life. Proud, angry, envious, jealous, mean, thinking, right? Harboring revenge and hurtful thoughts and greedy thoughts and lustful thoughts and just right. There you go. Boom. There's a whole bunch. Just put them out on the table. How seriously do we take those sins as somehow having a bad impact on our lives? Do we realize that those kind of thoughts pollute the atmosphere that we bring into the room? Ouch. Say that out loud. You let those thoughts take up a space in your mind. You allow those thoughts to be nurtured in your thinking. They will show up in the atmosphere you create around you. People will sense it. They sense the spirit that is alive in you. They sense the thinking that you give yourself to. Saint Augustine, this is not my idea. You become what you contemplate. You become what you contemplate. It was a fundamental principle of Augustinian anthropology that the things that I spend my attention pondering, focused on, concentrating, thinking about, imagining, using my intellect to probe, to spend the life of my mind on those things shape me. Those things impact me. And I'm confessing that I am greatly sinning in how I'm thinking. Now, I hope you're not scandalized by that. You know why? You do it too. You do it too every Mass. And this is what was striking me last night was, wait a minute, every time I go to Mass and we pray the Confiteor, I'm confessing that out loud. What is that meant to do? Am I just supposed to say that prayer and then just let it go whoosh? Oof, there we go. In my thoughts and my words, what I've done, what I've failed to do, and through my fault, my grievous fault, therefore I ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, all the angels and saints, my brothers and sisters, pray for me, the Lord our God. Done. Okay, let's keep moving. Let's go. And sadly, isn't that what can happen? Isn't that what happens? Not this Advent, not last night, by the mercy of God, by the grace of God, the Lord decided to break in and say, Tom, as the Archangel Gabriel came to the Blessed Mother, the Lord in his mercy broke into my presence at Mass last night and decided to disrupt and shine a light on my conscience, in my heart, as I started to pray the Confiteor, in my thoughts. What about my words? And you see, I could do this for each of them, right? Words and deeds, I would say, are the ones where most of us spend our time focused. So I'll spend the least amount of time on those and just mention in passing. When you think about the great sins that are part of your life, if there were any sins that you would consider great in your life, it would probably be associated with your words and your deeds, right? Fair enough. Because those things are very visible. They're the most difficult to hide. And let's just even say it this way. They're the most difficult to hide from yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that we're fully aware of the ways that we're sinning in our speech. Like, we might have a habit of being unkind and harsh and sarcastic and mean and abrupt and hurtful in our speech. And we're just kidding. Oh, come on. It's not that big a deal. Get over yourself. And that's just the tone and the tenor of the conversations that I've been part of because of my family system. And so when I go out into the world, that's how I talk about. That's just the kind of the pattern of speech I bring. Not realizing that, you know what, you're causing a lot of wreckage. You're bringing a lot of hurt into this world through your speech. Is that really what God gave you your mouth and your lips to do, is proclaim that kind of speech in this world? Don't think so. So the words and then the deeds, right? The deeds, again, is one of those things where if you're gluttonous, yeah, you probably are aware of it. If you are, lazy, yeah, you probably have some awareness of it. There's going to be, again, a level of visibility of the things that we do and the things that we say that reveal the sins that we commit. But the last one is another one of these where the Lord in his mercy can shine a bigger spotlight. Remember, thoughts, words, deeds, what I've done, and what I have failed to do. Those are sins of omission. We tend not to focus on sins of omission, but as I mentioned a few weeks back when I was going over the four last things, that death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Judgment, if you look at Matthew 25, you have the Son of Man returns and the sheep and the goats, right? The goats get condemned, not for any of the things they did, but for what they omitted, what they failed to do. They failed to feed the hungry, visit the imprisoned, take care of the sick, right? It was clothe the naked. It was what their omissions that brought about their condemnation. Do we think about that? Are we aware of that? Do we ponder that? Are we confessing omissions? Really? Are we confessing omissions when we say the Confiteor? Greatly sinned. I have greatly sinned by what I have omitted in my life of faith. Really? What omissions are the great sins that you have committed through your omission? I've committed this omission. What is it? I have omitted being generous with the stewardship of the wealth that I have. I have omitted being generous, giving my time to the Lord in prayer. I have omitted being generous in using my gifts to serve the Lord and the church and to fulfill the God-given mission in my life. I don't know. I'm just saying things. What was I using? Stewardship, time, talent, and treasure, right? So that's all I did there. But isn't that worth pondering? Isn't that a bright light for Advent? We want to clean our house and get ourselves in order. Let's ponder the Confiteor like a real, authentic prayer. All right, I'm up against a break. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you today. This is Advent. Here we are. It's the day after the transferred feast, solemnity of the Immaculate Conception as a holy day of obligation. It's that important that it got moved from the 8th of December, which was a Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent, onto yesterday, which you know. And I was reflecting so far on the gift that the Lord gave me at Mass last night. It looked like an ordinary Mass, right? Sorry, I mean that very respectfully. It was a typical Mass. There was no Mass that's ordinary, but there's nothing so extraordinary about the Mass from the external visible standpoint, but through the great mercy of God, through the great grace of the Lord, he broke into my life through the simple prayer of the Confiteor, which was profoundly revealing to me. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask the Blessed Virgin Mary, Blessed Mother, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. So just to finish on this prayer before I move forward with it into the first reading, do you ask the Blessed Mother to pray for you? Do you have any sense that the Blessed Mother sees you and knows you? Like, I'm sitting here in my room, and there's a statue of the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Grace, right there. Go on the other, oh, and there's a candle of the Immaculate Heart of Mary right over there. And off we go, right? So you can have pictures and rosaries and statues and icons and paintings, right? All of the above in the house. But it can lead to even a kind of devotion, right? Praying the rosary daily or things like that. But do you know that the Blessed Mother knows you? Do you have any sense of the Blessed Mother, Mary, loving you, praying for you, caring for those that you care about? So, here's the word I want to say, transferring to you the grace that she received. So yesterday, the office of readings, very powerful. There was a reading from St. Anselm, and he was extolling the virtues of Mary, and let's call it the theology of Mary, and the spirituality of the Blessed Mother, and was raising her up as a model disciple, like the gift that she was given, and then raised up this sense that she was this model disciple who was and this is a very strong word now, like the cause of our salvation. What are you talking about? That's too strong, Anselm. You know, Jesus is the cause of our salvation. Yes, Jesus, born into this world, caused our salvation by his death on the cross. But here's the question. How did he get in? How did he get into this world? He came to this world through the Blessed Mother. And then if you want to point it on, like put it to the head of a pin, it was her yes. It was her yes that was the doorway that the Lord chose and prepared and respected as the God-designed entry point for the Son of God to enter the world to save us. It was her yes that, here's the word, permitted the Savior, the cause of our salvation, to come into our world, into human history. And she was a teenager, but she was 14, 15, somewhere between 13 and 16. I've got a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old and a 15-year-old. And I'm thinking, God, you're going to put the, like, all of human history's salvation into her decision? What? Are you kidding me? Oh, wow. That is stunning. What the Lord put into her hands, into the hands of her yes. Now, there's a lot at stake in that. And this is where the Immaculate Conception comes in. And as you know, the Immaculate Conception isn't the Annunciation. It wasn't that her yes is the Immaculate Conception, right? Or Jesus being conceived in her womb. We all know that, right? We know that it's the conception of Mary in the womb of her mother, Anne, right? That she was conceived without original sin. And it's immaculate. It's without the stain. She was conceived without the stain of original sin. Yes, we get that. What is less understood is that you could call the Immaculate Conception the redeemed conception. She was the redeemed conception. Redeemed. Who's the redeemer? Jesus. When did Jesus do his redemption? On the cross. And so the Blessed Mother, this is what the church says, the church teaches, the Blessed Mother was immaculate because of the work that her son would perform in this world. She received a grace which was prevenient. It came before, prevenient. This grace that the Blessed Mother received to be born without original sin was a grace that was associated with the work of her son's death and resurrection on the cross. His death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. The Paschal Mystery was a manifestation of this redeeming grace that was applied backwards in time to her, back to her moment of conception. So her grace was redeemed. It was redeemed in advance of the Redeemer being even conceived in her womb and born into this world and then living and then dying on the cross and rising to new life, being raised from the dead, right? And so what this brings about is an understanding of God's redemptive work. His redemptive work takes two forms. And one form of the redemptive work of the Lord is to redeem by rescuing, right? So we're redeemed, you and I, from original sin and any personal sins that we have through baptism. By our baptism, when we're baptized, original sin is washed away. And we share in the redemption of Christ after we're conceived and born into this world and we're baptized. And so there is this reality of redemption that is rescue. But then there's another manifestation of redemption, which is protection, preservation from. And so preservation from means, oh, you were redeemed, not because you fell in the water and you had to be rescued from drowning. No, no. You actually were given these railings so that you didn't even fall into the water. That's a different manifestation of the mercy of the Lord and the gracious protection that comes from God's redeeming grace as it applies to your life. In your life, there is one part rescue and one part preservation from. Make sense? I think you get that. We're not always aware of what we've been preserved from. I think we're mostly aware of what we're rescued from. Every once in a while, it's like, oh, wow, that was a near miss. That I was preserved from that. Every once in a while, we get that sense. But in the life of the Blessed Mother and the life of Mary, the way that God's grace reached her was entirely on the preservation side. She never had to be rescued. God's grace was so powerfully victorious and at work in her that she was completely preserved from the stain of original sin, immaculately conceived, and preserved in God's grace so that she never sinned, never fell short. She never had to be rescued because grace was complete in her. Grace was perfect in her. She was full of grace. There it is. And so the gospel, hail, full of grace, is an insight into the victorious work of God's prevenient, redeemed conception, the perfection of the preserving grace at work in the life of the Blessed Mother. That's what we're celebrating in the Immaculate Conception. And that also ought to get us reflecting and being grateful to the Lord for His preserving grace. Back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. All right, so yesterday we had that incredible feast, that holy day of obligation, and it's important for us to reflect on that. And not only not only to thank God for the gift of the Blessed Mother, for the work of grace that was completely victorious in her, so that her yes was always perfect and available to the Lord. And as a result of that, Saint Anselm, in the church celebrates this, can even say that the one who is the cause of our salvation, Jesus, comes through her, so that in a way, she is also, through her yes, the cause of our salvation. Because it was her yes that was the point of entry for the Lord to be born into this world. All right. That has something to say to you about your world. Okay, get ready for it. Your yes is important to God. Your yes may even have a decisive role to play in being a doorway through which the Lord would come into your world, your relationships, the people that are around you and your family, in your workplace. Are you ready to say yes in advance to what it is the Lord would do in your life? When I was on the Camino, I tried to be open every day. Lord, if you have someone that you want me to meet with, someone I'm going to be connected to, just give me the grace to recognize and respond and say yes. I bring that up because on, I think it was Friday of last week, maybe on Saturday, I got a text from a woman that I ended up having a conversation with on the Camino. It was one of those divine appointments, got established. We started talking, and lo and behold, she's from Western Washington. And guess what? She listens to Sacred Heart Radio. And she texted and said, I just want to thank you for that conversation we had. It changed my life. Now, God changed her life through the conversation. It was the Lord. I can't change anybody's life. I can't have an impact, right? We all have an impact on each other. And it's like, well, do you want to be that angel? Do you want to be that conduit? Do you want to be that place of manifesting God's voice into someone else's life? Yes, you can have that role, that part. And she was saying, I just want to thank you for, you know, your willingness to have that conversation. God has really impacted my life through it. And she's like, hey, I listen to your program every day and emphasize that. And it really enjoys when Carrie is on, which is pretty much a universal sentiment because she keeps me real, even more real than I get when I'm doing these programs. But it was like, hey, great to hear from you, right? It was just a wonderful surprise. What a wonderful gift. But it was based on a yes. You say yes today, not yesterday. Say yes today. Say yes, like the Blessed Mother, to the Word of God coming close to you today. You just don't know how the Lord's going to use it. You just don't know how the Lord might use you to shine a light into someone's life. And so I've got like seven other things to say. I'm going to run out of time. Let me just say a couple of quick things. The first one was the first reading was the story of Adam and Eve saying no, not yes. And what happens when they say no? They hide, they blame, they deflect, they accuse others, not themselves, right? What happens? Adam, where are you? I was hiding. I was naked. I was afraid. Well, and I was ashamed. Oh, okay. So you disobeyed me. And he could have just acknowledged it. You're right. I did. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please, I'll make up for it. I'll never do it again. He didn't say any of that. He said it was the woman's fault. She did it. She convinced me to do it. And, you know, he just deflects. And so his disobedience leads him to not only impact his relationship with God, where now he is hiding from God, but now he is breaking his relationship with his wife, with Eve, who gets confronted. And what does she do? She says, I've got an excuse. I was tricked. I was swindled by the serpent. he seduced me into eating the fruit. And so instead of her owning it, acknowledging it, being accountable for it, no, she presents an excuse why she did it. And ultimately, it goes back to the devil, right? The serpent. And what ends up happening at the end of that first reading? You not only are you going to crawl on the ground, but you are going to strike at the woman's heel and she will crush your head. She'll crush your head as you strike at her heel. And that's isn't that the fundamental battle? The spiritual battle is what? Are you yes or no to God? Are you yes to God with no limits and boundaries? Let it be done to me according to thy word. I've said yes in advance to anything you'd ask. I hold nothing back. I'm all in, no half measures, no settling. Or am I going to deflect, hide, and say no? Am I going to trick or be seduced? What is it going to be, yes or no? And I've got to tell you, one of the things that has shown up this Advent, I mentioned it before, I'll bring it back up again, is the intensity of the spiritual battle, the yes or no, the realm of the demonic coming against our lives and our loved ones' lives and our relationships. And I find myself praying so intensely every day, these deliverance prayers, more and more of them. And I got to tell you, I feel like I need to give a talk on this to some men. Like, guys, do you want to have an impact on your family? Like, big, big deal impact on your family. Get that book, Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity, and just start praying it every day. Like, I prayed it on Saturday. Sunday morning. I took an hour, and I just prayed deliverance prayers for an entire hour. I mean, there's a lot of them in that book. Different kinds of deliverance prayers. Amazing. And it was like a spiritual workout praying that long, those deliverance prayers. And it was like exhilarating, but it was a battle. And I got to tell you, I just had that sense of saying, this is dislodging no's. This is dislodging no, a demonic no, that would say hide, deceive, blame, be combative, be deceptive. And it's like the battle's coming to a head. And it's not enough just to say the prayer once. This is one of those things that in intercessory prayer, when we're praying for others, we can get sometimes frustrated. Oh, I prayed for that. Nothing happened. Oh, I prayed once, half-heartedly, and somehow I wanted God to move in this miraculous, supernatural way to lift a mountain and have it be thrown into a sea. And I claimed the scripture and nothing happened. So I guess that didn't work. Yeah, are you battling? Are you on your knees battling for an hour, 2 hours? Are you going to say, I'm not going to stop, God, until you move? And then I'm going to keep at it every day. I'm going to be that persistent, like that widow, the importunate widow in the scriptures. Am I going to knock like that guy at night who has the guests show up and there's no food? I'm just going to keep on knocking until you answer, right? Do we have that kind of spirit in our spiritual battling? We just don't. We just don't. We're not taught about it. We're not like equipped. We're not given the equipping to do it. But I got to tell you, I wonder how much more advancing breakthroughs and even raising the level of conflict to get to a breakthrough that would happen spiritually. if we only fought more intensively. Prepare the way for the Lord. Guys, this is what Advent is about. Prepare the way for the Lord. And I got to tell you, that was all just from Mass yesterday. That's pretty cool. I there's so much more to say, but I am out of time. So just pray that the Lord would give you that grace, some Advent grace, to just see your life differently. Humble yourself. Lord, just give me the grace to see. I'm tired of settling for less. Come, Lord Jesus. All right, God bless you. Join me tomorrow.